today on Real Radio.
The child doesn't say, "Are you sure that's a tree?" They're confident in that. And so with father's hands nearby, they step out and they do recklessly. And somehow we lose it as we get older. We lose it.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16 is a section that provides valuable insight into the various gifts believers have received and exercised for Messiah's glory, and their functions and purposes for the edification of his followers. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
Tonight we have a woman in the hospital, and we're waiting for the verdict from the doctor. And up until this crisis, she's been kind of frail. Kind of sensitive to climate. I don't mean climate as weather, just, you know, things. She's just fragile. She's frail. She's a little lamb. And since this storm has come into her life, I mean big, you know what's happened? The thing that I see and others in ministry see when a storm comes into somebody's life, you know what? They can be super ministers, man, and a storm comes in and they go right off the deep end and give up. Or they go right into the hands of Jesus and they're stronger and filled with more joy than ever before. Got a phone call this morning, very early in the morning. "Hey, this is so-and-so, and I'm going off to surgery. And just want to let you know." And we prayed together and went through some word together. "Oh, yeah, I got that. Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Oh, man. What's that other? Oh, yeah, what a verse. Oh, whoo, great. Ah, what a great verse." And, man, I'm just like, could you quote some of those back to me? I mean, she's absolutely ready. Power of the Word of God. Be careful how you hear. Makes all the difference in the world. And we so often, hear me out, this may offend each and every one of us. Seriously. We are in this thing mode. Weird thing. We're all guilty. I'm guilty. "Well, how was it today?" He was kind of off. "It wasn't as good as last week. We'll try it one more week." "Well, how was it?" "Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's good." That's weird. You know what? Think about it. According to the scripture, I should be the one who's given out the word. It should be reversed. The responsibility is, how are they? Let me see. How are they over here? Those to my left, how are they? You see, the thing is, the word goes out. If we quote scripture and we teach Bible, you see, I'm not the one, "Well, how was he today?" That's carnal. That's ridiculous. The thing is, be careful how you hear. At the end, it doesn't matter. You understand? It doesn't matter if I sleep through the message I'm giving. If I quote Bible verses, that's enough responsibility for us to stand before God with fear and trembling. "Well, what happened today?" He quoted four verses. And I don't know what I'm going to do with those four verses. You see? And the culture that we're in, it's like, what pastor can like out-preach the other? And you know what we need to do as a people? We need to be thinking about what flock can hear the best. What flock can listen the closest to the word and to the spirit of the Lord? Man, I need to be careful how I hear. I need to remember what it's like when you're a brand new Christian and you just listen, you know, to every word that comes from the Bible. It's like, oh man, the scary, horrible thing is we start to get lazy and complacent in our Christian growth and get kind of sleepy. You know what we need when that time comes? We need a renewal. We need a revival. We need to get excited about God again. We need to have our faith absolutely challenged. Absolutely. The problem with the church at Sardis is that they had gotten away from faith and they began to trust in formulas. Maybe their size, maybe they had a lot of money in the bank. They began to trust in that stuff. And let me say this carefully. Obviously, next week we'll get into this thing. This has all been the introduction so far. Faith and its feeling. I want to make a comment about that. Faith and its feeling. Isn't it funny how we, especially me, I'm like feeling less. Faith, there's faith on this side of the room and there's feeling on this side of the room. And the twain shall never connect, you know? Faith and feelings can never be. It's like there's an abomination. Because it's faith. Yes, it is faith. But you know what? Faith. If we are reading the Word and the Word is going into our hearts, listen to this. Faith will begin to take hold in our lives, the Word of God, and we will get excited about truth. The truth that is active in our lives, it just so happens, it produces a feeling. It may be peace, it may be just a neat confidence or a joy or even a happiness. All those things are byproducts of faith that comes from the Word of God that creates trust in our lives. Are you with me? We don't trust in the feelings, never, never. But many of us are either stoic about our faith, and if we have a feeling, it's like, get thee behind me. You know, we can get so stoic, someone's lifting their hand. You know why some people lift their hands in worship? It's because the scripture says that men ought always to lift their hands in prayer. And you say, well, we're not praying, we're singing. Ah, we are worshiping, which is taking the song and the words. Well, I can't speak for Matt here, but the reason why my hands go up is because I'm listening to the words. And I'm saying, God, that's what I want to do, or that's what I'm doing, or that's what I really need in my life. Lord, I'm asking you right now as we sing, like, Lord, glorify thy name in all the earth. I'm praying that prayer. I'm obeying the scripture. I don't have this goose bump thing go up my back and hands up. And then this phase. No. It's a willful thing. And people, you know, some of us Stoics might be going, oh, the guy's got his hands up over there. And then somebody on the other side of the room might be saying, how come nobody's lifting their hands? I am being so ministered to right now, I can't even sit in my seat. You know what I'm saying? We trust in the Lord. We do that because the Word of God promotes faith in our lives. That trust, that faith will produce a happiness, a joy, a peace. And the world will not understand us because we have faith. And what is faith? Go to Hebrews 11, the greatest definition of faith that you can possibly read. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Fantastic. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the substance or the reality. Isn't that weird? Faith is the reality of the things we hope for. It's the evidence. Now, the word evidence is a fancy courtroom term for absolute confidence. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is faith. Faith is having this confidence, this reality, what God has said, and consider this, what God has said in the Bible, okay, we are going to believe it, and we're going to stand on that thing, because it's supposed to be, are you guys awake? It's supposed to be our confidence and our reality. What is? Our faith. Do we stand on, listen, this could sound like a trick question. Do we stand on faith itself? Or do we stand on the object of our faith? We stand on the object of our faith, which is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's immovable. He never changes. So, do we believe what God says? The little dog in the back of the car window would bob our head. Yes, we do. But I don't. I don't. I waver. I start to have doubts. I start to have fear, and it robs me of my faith. Charles Spurgeon again says that doubt is having faith in the devil. Isn't that good? Doubt is having faith in the devil. That's funny. Faith. Believe in what God has said. How can we do that? Because He's never shortchanged us yet, and He never will. We can trust in Him. Absolutely. We can have faith. We're to have faith like that child. I noticed something. Hanging around kids and having my little one, who's not so little anymore, she goes from sport to sport. She loves, I don't know what it is this month, but last month I think it was ice skating. And for a while it was softball, and for a long time it was gymnastics, and I don't know what it is now, but it'd be something. And I've noticed us as fathers, or maybe how about us as parents? Remember how we've talked about how the little child growing up has that faith? And the little child just leaps into the arms of the daddy without even thinking. Absolute faith. A little child will do that. We're supposed to do that with God. Question is, are you doing it, and am I doing it with God? But this little child will jump right in the hands, right in the arms of the daddy. And I remember when they were real little, at what I consider the perfect age. I don't know why people call them the terrible twos, but we never had the terrible two scene. Two, three, four, they were perfect. It's after four. And, but two and three, you say, in fact, this is what I used to do. I would say, Rebecca, let's go plant some flowers, or let's go plant a tree. And she would just have an absolute ball. It would take hours to plant a flower because she's got the shovel. And it's like crazy. But you know what? That was her flower. There's a tree in our backyard that she planted. And we have a picture that her and that tree are exactly the same height. And now that tree's got to be 35 feet high, 40 feet high. Huge sycamore or something. Gigantic. That's her tree. She named that tree. Zacchaeus is the name of that tree. And she was just a little tiny, tiny thing. And I would say to Ashley, let's go mow the lawn. When I had to mow the lawn with, the little backpack things with the kids, that's how I mowed the lawn. And she'd stand up in the back and look over my head. And I'm mowing the lawn, and I'd go, we're going to turn now. And she'd like pull on my ear, and she's like, right in there. And because they were included, there was a sense of pride and togetherness and like unity, and that was their tree, and that was my plant, and that was my, kids love that stuff. Take a little one tonight, if you have one, and say to them, help Daddy park the car. Well, I don't. We don't do that at our house. But something like that. And all of a sudden, it's just, life is awesome to them. It's father, child, and mission. And that child is fully confident. Why? Because the father has invited the child to embark on this mission. The child is in the eyes and in the hands of the father. Absolute confidence. The child has what I consider faith in such a way that it transcends faith. Are you hearing me? The evidence, which is the tangible, factual data, is not even debated. The evidence of the faith, it is there. The child doesn't have to think about it. The child doesn't say, are you sure that's a tree? The child doesn't say, are you sure this is a lawnmower? They're confident in that. And so with father's hands nearby, they step out and they do recklessly. And somehow we lose it as we get older. We lose it. We grow up and we can quote more Bible and we can blend right into the church at Sardis and get into ministry even, but if we're not desperate before God, then we need to repent because our works are not perfect before Him. Why? We've departed from faith. It's become a formula. It's just an activity. Do you get sick to your stomach and get anxious before you perform your ministry? Or is it something, well, you know, I've done it 1,000 times. People, thank God, I hope you can't figure this out. Some of you have said, well, you just seem so calm up there. You know, I'm usually sick to my stomach before I come up here. I'm so nervous. I was talking to Raul Reese a while back, and he goes, man, I get so nervous. I said, man, I get nervous. Yeah, but I get really nervous. Well, I believe you do. I get diarrhea. I get so nervous. Well, that's your problem. But there's that, I will often, if I try to even eat something before service, I get kind of sick to my stomach afterwards. I mean, after I eat before the service, because there's just, oh God. And basically it's, this is so true every Sunday. Now don't tell people on Sunday, they won't even come back. But on Sunday morning, man, I'm thinking, oh God, what have I been studying all these hours? What book are we in? I'm not kidding. Sometimes you notice I've made that mistake. Let's turn to Ephesians. No, that's Wednesday. It's like, oh! And I study and I got all my notes out there. And before I come out here, I'm looking at my notes and it's like, what was I thinking when I put that down? What was I thinking? Why did I use that verse? And it's, oh God. In a moment, I'm going out there. And I'm going to be an absolute idiot in front of all these people. If there's that time when it's like, yeah, I can do that. Oh, sure, I'll be right there. Sardis, got Sardis written all over it. Because we're not crying out to Him in faith, saying, Dad, help me here. Are we as a church, am I, are you as an individual, so desperate before God, listen, that you're crying out to Him? If you're not, how come? Why not? I want to tell you, and we'll be done here, get in that place. It sounds so nuts, but it is so wonderful. And I wouldn't change what God has done in my life for anything. I remember getting this incredible job years and years and years ago at what used to be called American Hospital Supply Corporation in the Edwards Laboratories Division in Newport Beach. Now it's called Baxter Healthcare. It's a global, huge, worldwide, everywhere thing. And I remember interviewing for a job, and the guy goes, yeah, okay, we'll call you up next week. I think you got it. And, oh, that's great. The guy calls up and says, well, we gave your job away. So, well, what'd you do that for? What'd you call and tell me them for anyway? He said, well, I think we got a better job for you. Come on down here. I want to talk to this guy. So I came on down, went through a whole day of interviews. Then they showed me where I was going to work. I almost fainted. It was so intimidating looking, I seriously thought Frankenstein was laying underneath a blanket in the room. There were just coils and bubbles and electrodes and body parts, and it was like, wow! And they said, this is where we want you to work in here. We think you're better for this spot. And it's more pay, and it's better. And you know what? I could handle the other job. And I remember sitting and talking to those guys and trying to talk them out of giving me that job. I'm not kidding. And then it dawned on me. I'm not supposed to be here. God just had me come here to witness to this guy. That's why I'm here. So I waited for him to stop talking. So then he got done talking, and I totally shared God with him. And I thought, this is great. And I still got the job. I remember standing outside that company when I pulled up and I parked my car and I looked at that place. And I remember said, oh God, the favor you gave Daniel before Nebuchadnezzar, please give me every day here. And I stuck my card in the door and the door opened up and I walked to my place. And he was faithful. Every day, the manager, the R&D vice president would say, we're going to be working on this project tomorrow. What is it? Scared me to death. Every day you had to pray, oh God, help me. I didn't understand what they're talking about. Get in that place of dependence upon God again. Do it and grow.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a series of studies called United in the Gifts. This is an in-depth examination of Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 7 through 16, and of course other biblical passages that speak of the various gifts believers have received and exercise. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Now, we're just about to wrap up 2008, and so our teacher has something important to say about that.
This is Pastor Jack, and as we come to this year's end, we want to thank you for listening and being part of the Real Radio family. And in light of that, we want you to pray for us and pray about partnering with us and making these radio broadcasts possible. It's not free to do this, and we certainly don't want to ask for money to do it. We want the Lord to provide. But if you're looking into investing in the kingdom of God and helping us get the word of God out to other places, even around the world, then we look forward to having you partner with us. If you'd like to contact us today, you can do that at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Or you can call us toll free at 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 1-877-RR-RADIO. Once again, thank you for supporting us this year and being part of the Real Radio family. God bless you, and we look forward to next year.
Okay, well, again, you can visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or if you're ready to correspond right now, here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.